Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Why did you cut yourself open on a bottle cap?
Because I wanted to feel again.
I don't need a band-aid.
You're a man.
Band-aids are
You're just going to bleed all over yourself.
I'm JP, and this is Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and we're one of the oldest independent publications still publishing inside of the United States. We distribute free monthly issues about music, arts, action sports, and subculture. Today, we're going to be speaking with a handful of Slug writers about their 2011 top five selections from our December issue. Let's go around the room really quickly and have everybody introduce themselves before we start getting into the songs and the top five list.
My name is Courtney Blair, Slug reviewer and also a volunteer on-air host for KRCL Radio. I host Afternoon Delight Saturdays 1 to 4 p.m.
My name is Cody Hudson. I am a writer for Slug.
My name is James Bennett. I'm also a music and food writer for Slug. In my spare time, I teach French.
Is this one of your jokes?
No, seriously.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I'll buy it. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Mon ami?
Oui.
Qu'est-ce que c'est? What did I just say? I can't remember.
Something about what is it?
Okay, great. What is up?
But if you don't point at it, I can't tell you what it is.
What is up is qu'est-ce qui se passe, I think.
All right, sorry for that impromptu French breakdown.
Oh, I'm Mamie Wallace, aka Mama Beats. I write for Slug, and I also DJ with Knife Rape.
And we're all here for the good purpose, of course, of talking about the top five albums of the year that we each chose and decided as the best in the world. We're not going to come at it like a bunch of assholes, though. We're going to break it down for everybody, right? Try to make it accessible.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So accessible.
So that's what we're here for. Let's start with James Bennett. We're going to play a selection off of one of the albums that you picked as your top five. I believe it's Off's song, Jeffrey LePierce.
Jeffrey LePierce.
Just like how I did the French thing?
Jeffrey LePierce?
Yeah. That's not it, though, right?
No. Jeffrey LePierce. It's a eulogy song written about the frontman and singer for the Gun Club.
All right, let's listen to a selection from that. That's really good, James. Nice selection. And the singer we're hearing there is the original singer of Black Flag and Circle Jerks, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, a guy named Keith Morris. So yeah, original Black Flag singer before he jumped ship and started the Circle Jerks and was replaced by, let's see the sequence, Ron Reyes, also called Chavo Pederast, then Dez Cadena, and then finally Henry Rollins.
And that's on the Vice Records?
Yes, it is. And I fudged a little bit the dates on this because The songs kind of individually came out in 2010.
On a vinyl collector set.
Yeah, but yeah, as individual 7-inches, and then finally as a 7-inch box set, kind of in late December of 2010, it came out as a box set. And then it was released on CD in January of this year.
I was going to call you on that, but you brought it up yourself, so we'll allow it, you know? We're obviously allowing it.
Okay.
What did you like about that song specifically?
What I like about the song? Well, that song specifically, well, the entire record is great and the band is great. They're older people doing an older style of music. And I think it's quite a bit different for guys who were originally involved in hardcore to be doing hardcore music versus, you know, 17-year-old kids from Kansas. Not saying that kids from Kansas can't pull it off, but there's a lot deeper of a feel and meaning to it, I think, if it comes from people who've been doing it for 20, 25 years now. I pick that song because there's a bit of a Utah connection just in that it's a eulogy song written about the singer of the Gun Club, which was an LA-based kind of a early punk blues style band. And Jeffrey LePierce actually ended up getting really into drugs, needing a place to kind of crash and get off of it. And he moved to Salt Lake because his dad lived in Salt Lake and he actually died here.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about your albums here in a little bit, the other albums, but I want to get everyone else's opinion about that song we just heard. What were your thoughts, guys?
I really dig that song. It kind of reminds me of like The Clash, I think. I think that's what I was thinking in my head when I first heard it. It's like sounds like really old school, kind of like, I don't want to say this the wrong way because I don't know very, was it punk rock? kind of the Britain.
Yeah, UK punk.
UK punk rock. Yeah, it sounds really cool. It sounds fun. It's short, but like it kind of, I don't know, made me feel like I need to like smash my pillow against the wall when I was listening to it earlier. Made me feel really good. I dug it.
Good, good. It's supposed to inspire excitement.
It did inspire excitement.
You don't have to like it, but
I do. I remember hearing, I can't remember which track specifically that I heard first from Off, but I remember reading, you know, some background about the band, and it got me all excited, and I remember, you know, grabbing my husband and showing it to him, and I know they came to town.
They did,
also.
Yeah, they
did you go to that show?
I did, yeah. There's a, on slugmag.com, there's a write-up that I did.
Oh, sweet.
Okay.
So, the cool thing about it is, you know, when they play all their songs, they still only have, you know, 25 minutes of material. So they came out, they played songs, they told stories, and at the end they played an encore, where they just played the first three songs again, because they didn't have anything else.
Are all those songs really short?
They're all really short. I think that Jeffrey Lee Pierce is one of the longer songs, one of the longer tracks on the record.
And it clocks in at like what, a minute 20?
Yeah, yeah.
Or 2.5 minutes, something like that. Let's talk a little bit about the rest of the albums that you cited on here. How do they relate to that Off album, if at all?
How do they relate? Well, I don't know if any of them. It's kind of a unique mix of weird, old, and new stuff. I actually have a couple of, well, I have one that's a reissue, I have one that's a live album, so it's older material as well. I have one that's an older style record by an old person. I feel like an old man. The more I look at this list, the more I feel like an old man. But so Off was my number one record. Number two was a record by a band called Rocket from the Tombs. I don't know if you guys know Rocket from the Tombs at all. They were kind of a mid-70s punk band. They never recorded an album in the 70s, but they split into two bands. Cheetah Chrome went off and started a band called The Dead Boys, which pretty much defined New York City punk rock for a couple of years there. And then the other guy, a guy named David Thomas. Not Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's, but David Thomas started a band called Pear Ubu, which is a little bit more bluesy, a little bit more avant-garde kind of style. It was almost like warring camps for a long time. You had to like one more than the other. And so it was good to see him kind of come back as adults and start doing it again. But they're all, you know, late 50s, 60s now. They got the guitar player from Television, Richard Lloyd, who's playing with them. And this is like their first real studio release.
Rocket from the Tombs.
Rocket from the Tombs.
And yeah. What about the Jesus Lizard, I have to ask?
The Jesus Lizard. Do you know the Jesus Lizard?
Not familiar.
Just fabulous 1990s indie rock. Really, really brutal stuff. Really, really nice stuff, though, at the same time. David Yao of Scratch Acid is their singer. Just really good music. This is, they didn't play, they broke up as a band. There was about a decade where they didn't do anything. And then they came back together and went on tour again. And partly was that this was in the mid-90s. Touch and Go Records had a big anniversary party. I'm sorry, it was in the mid-2000s for their 25th anniversary. And they got the band Scratch Acid back together, which had been a band that some of these guys had been in before the Jesus Lizard. And so it got a lot of people talking who had been talking for a long time. And so they go on tour again. And this live album, which is called Club, was the first American show that they played in about a decade. And it was played in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's older songs, like none of it's new material. It was a DVD as well, and then they have this was the soundtrack. It's one of those records that you hear, and it's probably one of the only reunion concerts I've heard where I couldn't tell the band hadn't been playing together for 10 years. I mean, they sound like they never stopped playing.
That sounds awesome.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit and speak to Courtney Blair.
Okay.
Courtney, you have a very diverse lineup here of albums. Why don't we listen to one of the tracks off of M83's new album, Hurry Up, We're Dreaming. The song is called Midnight City. Courtney, thank you for that selection from M83. It's a French band, actually. Their sixth album, and I thought that was a great song. Their first single, really solid.
It was their first single, in fact. They originally released it in August. I remember hearing it for the first time when they announced that they were releasing the sixth album, Hurry Up, We're Dreaming, which they also announced that it was a double disc collection. And at first, when I heard that it was two discs, I was like, oh no, it's gonna be awful, because there isn't very many double disc albums out there that are like superb, you know? And especially after their previous release, Saturdays Equal Youth, which I thought was a fantastic flawless album all the way through. When Midnight City came out, I listened to it and immediately I was addicted. It's just so catchy, and I wanted to play it every single Saturday on my program leading up to the release of the album in October. And
did you?
I pretty much did. Or at least every other Saturday. I didn't want to ruin it for everybody.
How did other people respond to you playing that? Probably pretty good, right?
Yeah, pretty good. By the end, leading up to the, like, maybe September, halfway through September, people were actually requesting it. So that's always a good sign, in my opinion.
Yes.
And, certainly. Of course, at the 3-minute mark, we have the lovely saxolicious solo that everyone seems to be talking about. It's just fantastic. It, of course, takes you back to, reminds me of the 80s.
Seems to be in vogue right now.
Yeah, the 80s are definitely back.
And what did everybody else think about that song? You liked it, maybe.
I love that song. It's so chill. It feels good. It just really feels good for the soul. Like, there's nothing wrong with just lying down, just bumping some M83. I'm definitely down with that.
And Cody?
I liked it a lot. M83 is a really good band. Saturday's Equal Youth was really, a really solid album. And then that song, it's really reminiscent of like Ariel Pink's latest album with like the really lo-fi drum noises and the sax solo. It's really good.
You, the resident old, self-described old man, James.
I have to side with this for the simple reason that I consider myself adopted French. And so anything French is awesome. I'm not the hugest electronic music fan. It's always a little bit too clean to me, and I like it to be sloppy. But, you know, that being said, it's a solid cut. It's a great song.
You've heard it before, yeah?
Yeah, I listened to it in preparation for this.
Great, and you didn't turn it off halfway through.
No. I thought it was good.
It's a good endorsement.
I mean, up until, you know, preparing for this podcast, you know, with the exception of Daft Punk, I don't really have much French electronica experience, and so it was good to kind of branch out some.
Good. And where does this album relate, or how does it relate, rather, to the other albums you picked, Courtney?
Well, actually, the very first track on the M83 record, Hurry Up, We're Dreaming, it's called Intro, and it features Zola Jesus, who happens to be another one of my top five artists. She's a 22 years old, opera-trained vocalist who has released her second, or actually, I guess it's third album, Canadius, and it has a very gothic tinged. It's kind of interesting because M83 happens to be the only male artist on my top five.
I know, it's so
interesting.
PJ Harvey back with Let England Shake. Is this the much-awaited comeback of PJ Harvey?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's amazing to have an artist who's been making music for 20 years to release something that's probably her best piece of work. You know, it's her 8th album, or 9th. It's a dark, it's kind of horrifying in a way.
Yeah, no.
Lyrically, it's just so disturbing.
Definitely so.
It's all war stories, death, and...
Sounds fun.
Oh, yeah. But dark lyrics over some poppy folk tunes.
Yeah. You got a winner right there.
Interesting combination.
How did you take it, James?
No, I think that you make a good point. Just the idea that it's this is probably her best record, and it's her most recent record. I think that artists should always be striving to make their best record, because if you're making something that's worse than what you just did, then what the hell's the point? And so for that to actually get pulled off is a pretty rare feat. I like it. It is very war-torn. It is very, I don't know if sad's the right word, but there certainly is some sadness to it.
With an appropriate title, Let England Shake. Yeah. Very reminiscent of Blitzkrieg or something. Mr. Hudson, your thoughts on Courtney's list?
Yeah, I'm actually not very familiar with anything except, well, Austra. Actually, Austra's album is amazing. Mm-hmm. I saw Austra open up for, it was a Cold Cave they opened up for,
yes.
Durbin. They were impeccable. Like the three female vocalists, they sound amazing.
Yep, and also classically trained, opera trained vocalists.
And
like
it shows.
Zola Jesus, yes.
Yeah, it shows.
Well, Mr. Hudson, let's move right into your song here. It's from James Blake from his self-titled album. This is Unluck.
All in just taking care of, wouldn't like you. Playing fall in just taking care of, wouldn't like you. Playing fall in just taking care of, wouldn't like you. Playing fall in just taking care of, wouldn't like you. Playing fall in just.
Cody Hudson, slug writer, aficionado, well-versed in Mr. James Blake, apparently. That was Unluck from his self-titled. Your thoughts on that song?
I love it. I think it's a perfect intro to the album. It's the most accessible song, in my opinion, other than he does a cover of Feist's Limit to Your Love. That's probably like the single that everyone could enjoy. But I think it's a perfect intro. It really gets you kind of acclimated for what the album's going to bring.
And how does this compare to his other albums?
Well, this is only his only actual album. He released a few EPs before releasing this album. So last year, there was CMYK, Claverwork, and there was another one. And they kind of are a bit more, I mean, dancey, a lot more dubstep, more sampling. He samples Aaliyah, he samples a lot of like R&B artists. So this is a lot different. This is him stepping towards being a songwriter and kind of taking dubstep into that new medium.
And everybody else, what did you think about that James Blake track?
I dig the James Blake track. It's very chill. It sounds, like he said, it actually really does like start you off perfectly for the rest of the album just because it's so eclectic. It kind of gives you like the right vibe just to kind of go with it. I really dig it. It's a really good song.
I dig the entire album, really.
Have you heard the other stuff that he's released, the other EPs?
I have not. Just the full length.
He actually just released another EP a couple months ago called Enough Thunder.
Okay.
And it even like strays farther from the dancey stuff. He does a cover of like, I think it's, I want to say Joni Mitchell song. It's just entirely on piano. Like,
is it Big Yellow Taxi? Is that what he's doing?
No. The song's, damn. I can't remember if it's Joni Mitchell actually, but the song's called A Case of You.
Oh, it is.
You got official sign off from these characters. So, what, 64% of our group agrees that that is a Joni Mitchell cover?
That's true.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm up on my stuff.
And the rest of these albums you've got something from The Antlers, Jeff, The Brotherhood of Ty Segall. How does this album fit in with all those other ones?
You know, with half of them, it fits in pretty well. This year's, for me, it's just been garage rock and then, I guess, what's called post-dubstep. So stuff like The Weeknd, like that really dark R&B with, like, just hints of dubstep in it. Really, like, depraved lyrics, really, really good stuff. The Antlers' new album, I would say steps towards that, but it's not really the same thing. Their last album was really intimate and kind of a lot of synth noises, and this album steps a lot of like darker bass lines and minimalistic stuff. And then on the other side, there's Jeff the Brotherhood and Ty Segall, which is my garage rock side. Jeff the Brotherhood just put out a really solid album. It sounds like a Weezer album. A good Weezer album, not like a recent Weezer album.
You have to put that caveat on.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a good Weezer album. So
I hadn't really thought that, but once you make that connection, it's like, oh yeah, absolutely,
yeah,
very much so.
You've heard We Are the Champions then, James?
I have, yeah.
And your thoughts? Besides that, it sounds like a good Weezer album.
Well, I think that was pretty much, that's what I was agreeing to, was that it does sound like a good Weezer album.
But besides
it's really solid garage rock. I mean, I don't really know much the context, what it's coming from, you know, what has been produced by the band before this, but it's really nice. It's very listenable.
You guys immediately turn me off of the Weezer thing, but maybe I'll give it a shot. Your opinions are pretty good.
Weezer used to be really good.
If this helps, they also played the background music for the ICP Jack White collaboration.
Okay, for sure. Yeah, that definitely helps.
So I would check that out.
Insane Clown Posse?
Yeah.
Is that what you meant by ICP?
That is exactly what I
meant. Okay, I just want to make sure.
The other ICP.
Okay.
You doubly sold it then, Cody. Thank you. Fucking amazing. Great. All right, that's pretty good top five list you have there. I'm going to check out some of those as well as Courtney's and James and yours as well, Mamie. And if you're interested in checking out other top fives, go to slugmag.com or pick out a hard copy edition of our December magazine. We do top fives at the end of every year, including movies from our movie critic, Jimmy Martin, and other disciplines besides just music. So it's something for everybody. If you're not a music fan, you definitely find something interesting. Let's jump into the events, everybody. Are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
Yes.
Who wants to do the birthdays, first of all? Would you want to do those, Mamie?
Happy birthday, Ruby Johnson.
Ruby!
Happy birthday, Somerset Bivens. I hope I said that right. If I didn't, you can hit me later.
You did. Good show. No, okay, awesome. No beatings tonight.
Yes.
And you guys are probably more excited than I am, although I don't know if that's possible, about the Tuesday, December 27th Trans-Siberian Orchestra show at Energy Solutions.
Oh my goodness, I'm so very excited.
Trans-Siberian.
Courtney?
All the Christmas prog rock.
Yeah, when I was in high school, I used to get my ass kicked for listening to Sabotage, and now like the same people that are doing that are going and seeing that guitar player play Christmas songs with their grandparents.
They didn't even know.
Okay. Yeah.
How the tables have turned, James.
Yeah, they have no clue. It's like, it's the same damn thing! You owe me an apology!
I need to admit something. I have seen Trans-Siberian Orchestra before. And if you're not going to go just for the Prague versions of Christmas songs, go for the fucking pyrotechnics, guys. Because they are fucking amazing. All the pyrotechnics in the world set to Christmas music. I think that's what Baby Jesus wants anyways.
Baby Jesus was an arsonist.
He really was, man. Little known chapter they cut out of the Bible is
arson. I don't know if that's true, but Peter did carry a sword.
There you go. Peter?
Yeah.
The archangel?
No, Peter the apostle.
Yeah, it shows you what we know about the Bible, right?
Lop some guy's ear off when he tried to come and talk to Jesus.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Those guys were
and then Christ sealed him.
That's your Christmas story of the podcast. Yeah.
So arson and knife wielding in the Bible.
Yeah.
And that sums up the Bible, I think.
Pretty much.
So.
Incest.
Yeah, definitely incest. A lot of that. Spilling your seed on the ground. And arcs and shit.
Plowing.
Both the kind that sail and of the covenant. Can we wrap up the Jesus shit now?
The Jesus?
Yeah, I think we can.
Jesus was a thug. Okay, now I'm done.
Okay, good. Thursday, December 29th, SuiCycles, Red Dog Revival, and YYBS will be at Kilby as well. YYBS actually charted on my top five albums of the year, and they're a really good local band. Have you guys had a chance to check them out at all?
I saw them at the last Localized. They're really good. It was my first time ever hearing them or seeing them, and it really impressed me. They're really good.
Yeah, their self-titled warranted a spot on my album, so I really liked it a lot. I recommend it. Also, SuiCycles, Camden Chamberlain of Cave Doll's latest project. They joined us for a recent Localized. They do a really good job. So if you're excited and interested in getting out on December 29th, kind of a last hurrah for the season of music before New Year's, go check that show out at Kilby. It's going to be packed for sure, so get there early. And Friday, December 30th, Spell Talk, Max Payne and the Groovies, and the Fucktards will be playing at Urban. So kind of a punk rock neo-psych mashup.
Yes.
That is maybe even a better way to send off the new year, because you can actually get drinks at that venue. Are you guys going to go to that show at all?
When is that, the 30th?
Yeah, are you guys familiar with Slug columnist Mike Brown's band, The Fucktards?
I've never heard them before, but I've heard many, many things about them.
I've never seen them live. I guess that'd be something to watch. I've seen pictures.
I've seen Mike Brown looks so ridiculous. Kind of makes
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's very much a Mike Brown version of Tesco V in the meat. It's, you know, it's hypersexual. It's very, very punk. And, you know, Dan Rose lives in Utah County now. So if
what?
Anything else, you'll be able to see Dan Rose again. Because he's not kicking around downtown quite as much as he used to
live at the trash pit. No longer?
Yeah. He moved in with his mom, I think.
Maybe the death of punk. Go check it out yourself. See if that's true or not. And of course, Saturday, December 31st, the absolute last show of the year is New Year's Eve with Laser Fang at Urban Lounge.
Pretty fun.
You're going to go to Ray. Go to dance your pants off.
Yeah.
I would love to go, but I can't with DJ.
We're not going to talk about that show because it's not on this list, maybe. All right, out of curiosity, what are you doing?
We're throwing a Night Freak New Year's Eve party at W Lounge on New Year's Eve. I'm excited.
How much wobble wobble is going to be there?
There'll be some wobble wobble, some jiggy jiggy, and a lot of shaker shaker.
Wow, that's sold me.
Yeah. I'll be there.
There'll be bass. That's all you guys need, too.
Oh, yeah.
Let's jump back into the songs in the top five lists. It's time now for my selection of the year in terms of a song. This is from New Villager's self-titled album. The song is called Black Rain. It's appropriate that I ask myself the same question you guys have been asked this whole night. Where does that fit in with the rest of the albums I picked, and what is good about that song? And that song, it's a good selection in terms of the overall sound that New Villager creates on their self-titled. They do a good job of blending sort of indie electronica sound with some more rhythm and blues sort of elements. And I think that song in particular does a good job of showing like the lower registry of one of the singers, and then some higher falsetto stuff, and then more poppy sensibilities. And these guys are really good at blending different elements together. They're visual artists that also make a lot of videos for their songs, and there's a heavy art performance element to what they do. They're not just musicians, and I like that the song creates a mood. It starts with some sort of rain elements and then slowly builds. The rest of the song is really good, and I suggest you guys check out the videos for some of their stuff, because Cocoon House in particular is really good visually, so I would encourage people, that's why I picked this album and that song, to view what is possible nowadays when you have guys that are skilled both in visual stuff and music, combining their forces together and creating more than just sounds, because that's what this band says to me. And what were your guys' thoughts on the album, or the sound, rather? Did anybody like it?
I liked it.
Wait, we listened to a song?
Yeah.
We just heard a song.
It's what we were listening to just a minute ago.
It was just so quaint.
It was quaint?
Some of it reminded me of, like, Passion Pit.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I hadn't heard the album. I'm going to explore it.
Good. I didn't know who New Village was either.
I liked the second vocalist a lot, the higher pitched vocalist. I wasn't such a fan of the other vocalist.
The lower stuff?
Yeah, but it was pretty cool.
Alright, good.
And I like the idea of composing art as kind of a multifaceted thing, where there's music and there's also video. And you know, as a child of the 80s, it kind of reminds me of early MTV, where you were putting music out and you were also kind of really doing a little mini film that had to do with your song. And so the thought that you have people who are skilled in both, combining forces and creating art that's more than just music, but is still really good music, I think it's certainly worthwhile and very listenable.
Have you seen them live?
I haven't had a chance yet. Like most bands of this nature, they don't usually ever tour Utah, so I'd have to get out, but I definitely want to check them out, or at least one of their gallery exhibits, because they do those pretty frequently.
Oh, cool.
They do other sort of imagery, and there's a show I think in New York right now that's going
gallery
on that I missed.
Gallery exhibits, like, are they painting or?
Yeah, they do installation pieces.
Oh, sweet.
And then they use those same installation imagery in their songs.
And there's one right now in New York?
There's one in New York on the 16th, actually, by the time this plays, it's going to be done. But yeah, and it's a BYOB event I saw on the internet today when I looked up. And any artist that has a gallery with a BYOB, is got to be badass.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah. I'm down with that.
Yeah, they're a pretty interesting group. They've if you go to newvillager.com, they have some really good praise from all the major outlets on the internet you'd think would be into something like this. So I'd suggest checking it out. And how it relates to the rest of the albums on my list, it's kind of scattered. In terms of the visual element, nobody else really captures that quite as much as Childish Gambino, who is fronted by Donald Glover of Community fame.
Donald Glover, isn't that like Danny Glover's son or something?
No, it's not.
It's not?
He tried to capitalize on that initially.
Did he? But he was in Utah like a couple months ago,
Yeah, he
ago,
was.
Right?
And he'll mention his dad, but it's not really his
dad. But they're not related.
They're not related.
And his Twitter is Dong Glover.
Yeah, and he'll tweet at his dad every once in a while, like, where are you, dad? You're supposed to pick me up from soccer practice.
I've heard a lot of, like, funny things about him.
No, he's pretty funny, but I don't think I really enjoy his rap very much. I listened to the EP. Is Camp similar to the EP that was released just a little earlier?
Yeah, it's similar.
Yeah.
He's definitely an acquired taste. I am mainly a huge fan of Community, so anything Donald Glover does, I have to sign off on. It's one of the smartest shows TV ever created. I see you nodding, Courtney. You agree?
Oh, I love it's brilliant.
Yeah, and so that
is awesome.
And not enough people are watching it.
I agree. It's on hiatus. It's probably going to be canceled. So bummer for that. Yep. I hope not, but it's probably going to happen. Also, I should give props to Jesus or Genome, former Slug staffer Mike Kundick's solo project, The Veil Is Lifting. That's a really good album, along with YYBS's. Self-titled, those are some really good local groups you guys should check out if you're interested. Now let's move on to Mama Beats, aka Mamie Wallace.
Hi.
Hey there, are you ready to hear your song?
Yeah, of course. I'm always ready to hear Sebastian.
This is from Sebastian's album Total. The song is called Yes. That's a nice selection, Mamie, from Sebastian's album Total. Or how would you say that in French, James?
The name of the artist would be Sébastien, and probably Total would be the name of the record.
Thank you.
Total.
Is that better, Mamie?
I'm totally down with whatever. As long as it's Sebastian, I can understand it, I'm good.
Yeah, speaking of, you really enjoyed that song, you were dancing.
Yeah, okay, when I got the album from Slug to review it, it made me so happy. That whole album itself is fucking epic. Like, it's just beautifully, like, produced. Like, the way that he puts music together in such an artistic manner is, I don't know, mind-blowing. There's, like, literally interludes in his album. It's like we're watching a movie while listening to an album. It completely blew me away, and still my favorite album of the whole year, definitely. And Yes makes me want to just say yes to everything. Everything in the world. I wish I was a virgin so I could lose my virginity to it.
Gentlemen, take note of playing that song. It will make Mamie do anything.
Yes. I will do anything if you play Yes by Sebastian.
Wow. Phone's going to be ringing off the hook. Facebook page is going to blow the fuck up.
It's going to get crazy.
Now, you're pretty consistent with all the other albums you chose. These are mostly electronic musicians.
Yeah, I almost put Radiohead on my top five, and then I got the Mr. Wazo album at the end of it, and I just had to replace it. My whole year, since I've been DJing so much, I've been listening just basically nonstop electro, and I've had to basically just busy myself with good albums. So I've been lucky enough that, like, writing for Slug, I get all these awesome CDs. Mr. Wazo was fucking amazing. Like, he wasn't, like, too close to Sebastian, I would say, in, like, an artistic form, but he was so eclectic with the way that he put his synths and his drum patterns together, and also the samples that he used, that made it so interesting to listen to the whole album as well. They're all electro, but they're all different. Like, who would I put on my number four?
Baraka Sound System.
Yeah, they're really, I don't want to say the word ethnic because people kind of associate different things with it, but they're definitely kind of that album that if you listen to, you're just going to have to be shaking your ass the whole time. Lots of drums, very festive, exciting. You just can't, like, sit down when you're listening to them. They're definitely one of my top five albums of the year as well. And Narrow's EP when they came out was amazing. It's really good. It's definitely something I suggest that everyone just listen to. I can't stop listening to that myself. It's on repeat.
And what did everybody else think about that Sebastian?
Sebastian.
Thank you.
Gotta get the right nasal vowel there. It's the sound. Sebastian.
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 Not Sebastian, but Sebastian.
Sebastian.
It's such an old sound. It almost sounds German. Ah, Sebastian.
And you said earlier that you're not really a huge electronic fan, but
yeah, I'm really not. But I could see value and worth in it at the same time. And it was a great track. I didn't listen to it until I was preparing for this podcast. But I understand why it appeals to people more than it appeals to me.
That's so academic. Thank you very much for that, Mr. Bennett, Professor Bennett.
Bennett.
Oui.
Oui, oui. Everyone else?
Oui, c'est magnifique. Oui, oui. Comme track, oui.
What did you call me? You son of a bitch. Sorry, I'm joking. Okay, Cody.
I liked it a lot. It's really reminiscent of Justice, of the first album especially. Oh, those are vocal samples, right? That's not a person singing. Mm-mm. The way that he samples the vocals and cuts them in sounds just like...
amazing.
Just like Justice. And they're like weird, kind of funky bass lines, kind of the same thing.
Which is cool because they're on the same label too. Yeah. So they kind of probably mixed with each other.
Well, of all of your top five albums, that is the one that I actually own.
Sweet.
it's a great record album cover. It's pretty hot.
Yeah, him just kissing himself. I loved it.
Thanks, everybody. That was a really good roundtable. I'm glad you all joined us for your top five. For more top fives, go to slugmag.com or check out the hard copy of December's Slug magazine. Now, really quickly, let's go around the group and let the listeners, wherever they are, know about how we can find out more information about you as a writer or a personality. Speaking of Courtney.
Yes. You can catch my program on KRCL 90.9 FM every Saturday, 1 to 4 p.m. It's called Afternoon Delight.
It is really delightful.
Thank you.
One of my favorite programs on KRCL. And Cody, do you have a Twitter or anything?
I do have a Twitter. My Twitter is CodyHHH, and I also write the occasional feature for Slug and then tons of reviews, so definitely check those out.
Great. Mr. Bennett?
I'm all over slugmag.com, concert reviews. Food reviews is kind of my bread and butter these days.
No pun intended.
Literally.
Everyone loved that. Thank you. You didn't mean that, but we love that.
Come on. You can't see the wink over the internets, but there was a wink involved there.
Thank you.
I'm also a bit of a vinyl collector, and one of my pet projects is a band called Manor Astroman. I've been working on putting together a visual archive of their stuff. Check it out at astroarchive.blogspot.com.
Thank you, James. And Mamie?
You can definitely follow me on Twitter. I go by Confuse the Sheep. It's literally spelled the way it sounds, Confuse the Sheep. And then we also have a blogspot for our Night Freak, nightfreak.blogspot.com. And
that's
I
Freak
have
with a Q.
Yeah, it is with a Q. It's Night Freak as an F-R-E-Q, not F-R-E-A-K. Yeah, I'm a little intoxicated, sorry.
Allegedly.
And also, I have a SoundCloud. You can check that out. It's soundcloud.com/mamabeats with a Z, not an S. But yeah, just check that out. And also, write lots of reviews for Slug and little show reviews as well. So definitely follow Slug all the time.
All right. Thanks, Mamie. And thanks, everybody else. This is the last podcast of our year, so I'm glad you guys all joined us. And thanks for thanks for making it really awesome.
It was our pleasure.
I had lots of fun.
Hopefully everyone has a really nice new year.
Happy New Year's, everyone.
Happy
and Merry
new
Christmas.
Year. Thanks again for listening to Sound Waves from the Underground. For more information about the music you heard today, visit slugmag.com. If you happen to have any questions, comments, concerns, or maybe even an angry thought about the show, send an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com. Or feel free to call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan, with associate producers Jeanette D. Moses, Ricky Vigil, Esther Moronio, and Jonathan Paxton, with our executive producer Angela H. Brown. The theme music was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis, with our main logo and art design by T-Don. Technical design by Kate O'Connor. Next week, we're going to be featuring the We Are One skate park. We're going to hear about the Beats Antique belly dance contest winner and focusing on a new shop in Farmington called Tilly's.